This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, so glad to be here with you tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. I always enjoy having the opportunity to preach to our people in this format. And thank him for all the opportunities he gives us throughout the ministries here at Parkway to teach and to preach and invest in the lives of our people. And so tonight, I want you to take your Bibles. I'm aware of the weather and all that kind of stuff that's going on. You're aware that I usually don't get in a hurry in preaching. So, amen. So, we're going to jump right into the message tonight, and you sit back, enjoy. What I want to do tonight, I want to do something I usually don't do. I usually like to take a verse of my text and stay there, park there, and develop that text. Tonight I'm going to do a little different approach. I'm going to take a verse and as our text. We're going to start there, and then we're going to take about a dozen other verses, and we're going to encapsulize the thought in that one verse of our text. And so I pray that that you will be you'll be edified with that. You'll be challenged with that, with God's word tonight as we do that. I want to look at tonight Romans 8:29. If you'll take your Bibles, turn to Romans 8:29 or look up on the screen. But I like to turn in the Bible, man. I love to listen to those pages, Russell. Love to give the exercise our fingers and move throughout the Bible. And so if you'll do that with us tonight, we are going to be moving several places. But if we get ahead of you or whatever, catch it up there on the screen. I know our guys will get that up there. But Romans 8:29, and I want to bring this thought tonight. I want to bring this thought. Who do you look like? Who do you look like? Romans 8:29, Bible tells us this, and we know, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Let's take that verse tonight. Let's develop that. And with this thought, who do you look like? Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We sure thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for this time which we gather together as the body of Christ around the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your Word. Lord, help us, Lord, tonight to rightly divide thy Word. And Lord, I ask you, would you touch the minds, the hearts, the ears of your people? May our ears be open. May our hearts be receptive. And may our spirit be willing, Lord, to do that which we hear. That we might tonight hear what thus saith the Lord, and it provoke us to do that which you've called us to do and to be all that you called us to be. So I pray now, bless our time together, and may you be glorified and the people be edified. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have three sons. Many of you know that. I have Jesse, my oldest, Jacob, and Jackson, the three J's. And often I know a lot of folks, they'll get confused. If they ain't around them a whole lot, they'll just say, yeah, one of them boys, I don't know which one's which. And they'll try to figure out which one. But I got three. And it probably does not go a day that I run into somebody or somebody along in passing tells me, man, your three boys look just like you. And I often say, well, you know how to pray for them. They are cursed. Don't you feel sorry for them, you know? But it never goes. It never fails on a daily basis. Actually, today, I thought it's so ironic, knowing what I was going to preach this evening, I had three people just today, from this morning to by the end of the service, come by me and in passing say something to that degree about the boys looking alike or looking like their father. And no doubt, they do. If I was to pull out pictures and show you at different ages, they haven't always looked exactly like me, depending on what age they were at. But at some point in their growth, they have. You look at our pictures and you would think, oh my goodness, I cannot tell, except for, you know, how the old 80s pictures look. You can tell they're old, and so you know which one is me, of course. But that we get that often. I laughed the other night. We were at the softball game, and I believe it was the guest children, Mindy and Lily Mae, and they were playing there in front of the bleachers, and it just happened to be that Jesse and Jacob, the two oldest, were sitting side by side on the bleachers. And out of the blue, I don't remember which one it was, but I think it was Mindy. And Mindy looked up, and she was staring at him. And all of a sudden, just, you know, as only children can do, she looked at him and she goes, "Why is there two of them?" You know, so even a young child is thinking that. Why do we have these guys running around here and they all look alike? But there's a reason why those boys look like me, because I'm their father. They were created in my likeness and in my image. Because of my blood and my DNA and Robin's blood and DNA in them, and we birthed them. And yes, Robin did have a part in birthing them. Everybody says, "You had to spit them out." I promise, she had a part in them. They may not look quite as much like her as they do me, but they are our children. But they've taken on much of their image and likeness, being that they're a male, praise the Lord, like their father. And so that's the reason why we can say that very thing, that they've taken on a likeness and image. Robin and my mother-in-law often will say, when we're at a ball game and the boys are playing, and they'll look out there and, you know, trying to figure out, especially my mother-in-law, you know, she's trying to look out there and everybody's in the same uniform and she's trying to figure out who they are. And often I've heard them say, "Man, I can pick them out in a crowd by the way they stand or the way they move, their mannerisms, because they're just like yours, Todd. They move like you. They have mannerisms like you," and so forth and so on. And so there's a lot of things in them that are identical to their father. And in this text here of Romans 8:29, the Lord says something here. He says, "Look, this is the finished product I have predetermined is going to happen." All right, it's been predetermined before the foundation of the world. God predetermined that those that would put their faith in Christ, in Him, that they would, the byproduct of that faith in Christ would be that they would be conformed to His image and to His likeness. That Christ would come back, and the purpose in which Christ came was that He would reestablish in man, God's creation, the image and the likeness of God. We find that in Genesis 1, that here God says, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness." But by the time we get to Genesis chapter 5, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us there in chapter 5 that now Adam and Eve's offspring are going to be in the likeness of who? Adam. No longer is the image and the likeness of God in man. It's been lost. It's been lost in the fall when sin came into the picture and separated man from God. But God said, before the foundation of the world, I've got a remedy for that, which is going to happen. And I'm going to send my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to come and He's going to seek and to save that which was lost. What was that was lost? The image of God in man. And so here He says, God tells us, it's been determined, I've predetermined. Here is the byproduct of a life that has put their faith and trust in Christ, that has lived for God. Here's going to be the byproduct of that. They're going to be conformed to the image and the likeness of my son. The image and likeness of God shall be reestablished in man. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? That man, when now that is a born-again believer, God, when He looks upon me, He don't see me, but He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been covered. I've been washed in His blood. And so I've taken on His likeness, His image. And so here we see in this text here tonight, how does that come about? How did we bring that about that we might be conformed? Because it has been predetermined this is what's going to happen. But how does that take place? What does that look like in our life today? And here's the thing, as we break this down and we look at what that looks like, how that comes about, then what we can do tonight, what I pray will happen tonight, is that each of you will take inventory, look in a mirror. You want to know what you look like physically? Where do we go? We go to the mirror, don't we? We go to the mirror to make sure that we look like what we think we look like. And how many of you get to the mirror and are very disappointed? Amen. Boy, I think I'm good looking. Boy, I'm a hunk. Man, I'm a stud. And then I go to the mirror and I look and I'm so disappointed many a time. And I got two choices to make. I'm either going to just accept it, because we know mirrors don't lie, amen, though we wish they would. But in our mind, we think they are. We're thinking, oh, there's something wrong with the mirror. I know I look better than that. But mirrors usually don't lie. And so, but I can do one of two things. I can just accept the fact, well, that's the best I got. That's the best I'm going to ever look. Or I can do something about it. I mean, you know, when my chest is up from up here and it's now down around my midsection, but I can do something about that. All right, I may not walk around and be like I thought I used to be, you know, or look like I want to look now, amen. but you know what? But I have time to do something about it. If I want this here to be back up here, you know, I've got a gym across the street. If I'll just get my lazy self up and go over there, then I can do something about that. But we're going to look in the mirror. And tonight, what I want you to do, church, is I want us to evaluate ourselves. Let's look in the mirror. And the mirror, I'm not talking about a physical mirror. I'm talking about a spiritual mirror. And that spiritual mirror is nothing more than the Word of God. You want to know whether or not you are lining up and being conformed to the image of Christ. Are you looking like your daddy, if you're saved tonight, your heavenly Father? If you're looking like him, there ought to be some evidence. All right? The others can tell and identify, man, that's one of his boys. Hey, that's one of his ladies. Man, they are a child of God. I can tell. Why? There's some things that are similar to what I know about God, about his character, his nature, his image, and so forth and so on. It ought to be identifiable in you and I. And so if we look to the Word of God tonight, look to these scriptures as a mirror, then spiritually speaking, I can make an evaluation tonight. I can decide, I can look by what's said back to me, what the Word of God says I ought to be looking like, versus what I'm seeing in my own life, if I'm honest with myself and with God and everybody else, all right? And how often do we, everybody else notices things before we do? It's called pride, isn't it? Big old P, P-R-I-D-E, pride. All right, other people a lot of times are noticing we ain't quite looking like we ought to be looking before we do, okay, because of pride. But listen, I hope that's what we'll accomplish tonight. Let's look in the mirror of God's Word. But how do we come to understand? What does this look like? To be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, like I said, these boys here, my three boys, there's one reason why, as I've said already, that they have so many similarities to me, their father. And that is because there was a birth. There was a relationship entered. Okay? That's my first point I want to see tonight. There must be a relationship entered into in order for you to begin taking on the identity of your father. All right? They had to be born. All right? They had to be birthed. And spiritually speaking, for the child of God, listen, if you're going to take on the identity of Christ, if you're going to be conformed to his image, there must first be a birth. You have to be saved. And I believe, and I concur with a lot of pastors down through the ages, as I've heard it many a time. You can look up statistics, quotes. There's been many a man of God that have made some statement like this from their pulpit. But I believe it is stark reality. I believe it's sad reality. And they've made such statements as this, is that there's this belief. If we believe the Bible, and the Bible to be true, and we look to this Bible as a mirror of what a child of God ought to be looking like if they belong to Christ, then we would have to make the appraisal. There are a lot of unredeemed people in our churches across this world. A lot of unredeemed people. Oh, they have the title. Oh, they come as though they're a part of the family. They may even have some similarities to look like they may be a part of the family. But there's never been a rebirth. There's never been a moment in which they have come in the Bible way into the family of God. And so we have to look at that and think, listen, there has to be a relationship entered into. That is where it begins. It begins there. That's the foundation. They had to be entered in. My boys would never, if they were never born, would never have anything to look at. There would be nothing there to say, hey, if I had boys, this is what they'd look like. But they have been born, and because they were born, and because they have my DNA, my genetics, my characteristics, and all the other things, sometimes, well, now they have their mama's bad habits, but my good habits, her bad habits, when they have all that in them, man, it helps to mold and shape them to be who they are. And so here tonight we see that first and foremost, a relationship must be entered. Now, I'm going to try to go through these verses as quickly as possible. There's about a dozen I want to look at to encapsulize this thought. Who do you look like? Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? The first thing we see here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what, church? A new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And those things that are becoming new, they are of God. It's Him producing it in us. There has to be. The only way He can produce that in us is through a new birth, through the birthing process that we come in, we enter in to the family of God. And at the moment that we enter in, by faith believing on Christ and the finished work of the cross, at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God is gifted unto you and I. And that Holy Spirit of God, which is the image of God, now is placed into man. He says, know ye not that your body is what? Is the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right, He's taking up residence in you. And what is He doing? He's establishing His image in you. He is taking you from your dead trespasses and sins, your life separate from God, has no identity towards God, no connection to God, and then He has taken you now, put His Spirit in you, His image and likeness, and begins the process we call the sanctification process to begin conforming us to the image of Christ. It doesn't happen all at one time. My boys, it didn't happen all at one time with them either. But as they grew, and as they grow, the physical part of it, they can't help. All right? They're just going to have whatever physical similarities or whatever. But as they grow, there's some things that'll happen. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's a relationship entered. I want you to see 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, talking about this relationship. If we're in Christ, we become new creatures in Christ. He begins a work in us to conform us to His image. Then I want you to look at several verses that'll help us to back this up, support this, and challenge us tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to look with me there, verse 14 through 17. And the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an idol or infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are not the temple of the living, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What is he saying here? He's saying, listen, I want you to understand, the moment that you are born again, the moment you become a child of God, you're birthed into the family of God, man, there's something that happens. And he says, there's some nature, there's some characteristic traits that begin to take place. And he starts seeing here, what we see in those verses is a comparison and contrast. He said, here's what, if you're a child of God, here's what you ought to have, righteousness. You know what righteousness cannot have? It cannot be a part of unrighteousness. All right? They are total polar opposites. Okay? They cannot, you can't have one and have the other. Okay? It's one or the other. You ought to be taking on one or the other. Each of these, as we see in those verses that he lays out, man, they're contradictory. He's saying, here's a child of God. Here's the character and nature you ought to take on. But if you find these other things that you're still in your life or that you're holding on to, they are contradictory. They are against that which should identify a child of God, someone belonging to me. And so we see here, he says, look, separate yourself. There ought to be a distinction here, a distinction between who you belong to and who these belong to. But the two doesn't make any sense. There's something wrong if we're finding that the one or the other or both are in play in the life of a believer. But not only there, but I want you to see also, look at Galatians chapter 5. And there we know, the Galatians chapter 5, we get to talking about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read that together, verses 22 and through 25. And it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, godliness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, if the Spirit be in us, then what ought to be produced in us is the fruit of that Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? That is the characteristic traits of God in the believer. There it is. Love, joy, peace, and all those he's listed right there. He says there's what ought to be evidence in your life being produced by your life that you belong to God. And so we see those things there, the nature, the character. What he's saying, man, you ought to be taking on the nature and the character of God if he be in you. Okay? If he be in you, these are the things we ought to see in you. These are the things that ought to be emulating out of your life on a daily basis. Not only do we stop there, but then I want you to see 1 John 3, 2 through 3. And the Bible says this. It says there, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if what? If we keep his commandments. And I'm sorry, I just did the wrong one. Uh-oh, let me back up. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. I'm sorry, jumped ahead of myself there. Bible says there, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. As we were singing this morning, that thought came to my mind again, knowing what I was going to preach tonight, and we were singing, when we behold his face. I believe that was the song Casey was singing, wasn't it? Was it not? We're talking about when our faith becomes sight, and we think about, man, when I see Christ for the first time, and I look, man, I think it's going to be the most beautiful face I've ever seen in my whole life. When I look on him, into the face of the one that loved me, gave his life just for me. When I look into that face, and you know, church, listen, we got all kind of pictures and paintings and all that stuff. You know that that's the Hollywood version of Jesus. That ain't what he looks like. But I know this. It says right here in his word, but boy, when we do see him, we'll know him. We'll know him. We'll see him, and we'll stand face to face. And he said, I don't know what, but I know this. But one day I'm going to stand before him, and I'm going to look like him. All right, we're going to see him for who he is. And he says here, hey, I'm going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then it goes on, he says in verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him does what? He purifies himself. That one day I'm going to stand before Christ, and I'm going to see him as he is. And knowing what, when he looks back at me, what he wants to see me conformed to his likeness and to his image. And then when he looks at me and he does that, he says, because of that thought that one day I'm going to come and stand before him. Man, I want to come and stand before my holy and righteous God, the lover of my soul, my Redeemer. I'm going to stand before him. Man, I want my life to be a life that is without spot, blameless. I want to come before him conformed to his image. And because of that thought, the Bible says here's what we do, church, right now. We purge ourselves. We purge ourselves because of that very thought, knowing what God has said he wants my life to look like. Why would I hold on to the things of this world? Why would I entangle myself with the garbage of this life? Why would I do any of those things or desire to do the things or chase the things of this world, of sin and wickedness and deprivation and so forth and so on? Why would I do that in light of knowing as a child of God what my God desires of me? He says here, if you have that hope, every man that has that hope in him, he purifies himself even as his Savior is pure. So we see here that there's a relationship in her. To be conformed to his image, there must first, church, be a relationship. You must be born again. Not only that, but we see number two here, there is an obedience to be exercised. If we're going to be conformed to his image, there must be an obedience that is exercised. I can remember as a child and looking to my father, looking to myself as the son of Mike Flanagan. And I can remember as a boy, and I believe this could be said for most boys, if they have a wonderful father figure in the home that they can look to and so forth. I can know as a little boy, I wanted to be like my daddy. I mean, I can remember from a youngest age that I can had any remembrance at all, but I wanted to be like my dad. I wasn't trying to be me. I wasn't trying to be, you know, at that age, you don't know what you're going to be, what you desire to be. All you know is you got somebody here standing before you, and you like who they are. You like what they stand for. You like what they do. Why? Because they're your daddy. All right, they've birthed you, they're providing for you, they're taking care of you, they're meeting your needs, man, they're spending time with you, they're nurturing you, teaching you, training you, loving you, and so forth and so on. And so I look and I remember as a little boy, and most little boys, man, want to be like daddy. I can remember my dad was in the grading business, in the construction business, and there was nothing more I enjoyed than when he'd let me go with him out there to the job. And man, I'd go in there, and when I'd tell Mama, and I knew I was going to go the next morning, usually on a Saturday morning, and Mama would let me go with Dad, and Dad would go on a Saturday morning, he'd go out on the job to get caught up for Monday. You know, nobody else would be out there, so he was always felt it was safe to take me out there on the job on a Saturday. It'd usually just be the two of us out there. And I could not wait. There was nothing like going to work with Dad and getting on that big equipment. I thought I was something. I was getting up there, and I was acting like he'd sit me down on his side or in his lap, and I'd sit there and act like he'd act like I was driving that tractor or driving that dump truck. There was nothing like that, and you get to be like Daddy. And when I'd find out I was going to work with him, I'd go in there, and I'd tell Mama, you know what I wanted? I wanted to dress, and I wanted to look just like Daddy, just the way Daddy goes. When he goes to work, you know what? He had on his flannel shirt, you know, his jeans, old dirty, wore-out jeans that he'd work in. He'd have his flannel shirts on. And then he'd have them work boots on. And I can remember going there, and I said, you know, I want to make sure. If I'm going to work with Daddy, I got to look just like Daddy. And so I'd go in there, and Mama dressed me up, you know, try to get me whatever I had the best she could to make me feel like I was something. I was going to work. But listen, you know what I did? I watched him, and I desired to be like him. That was natural. I wanted to do what Daddy did. I'd watch Daddy and what he would do, and I'd try to imitate him. You know, that's the best way that we learn, isn't it? Is by observation. That's why it's so important, parents, man. Our children watch what we do, all right? They watch what we do a whole lot better than they listen to what we say, amen? I can get a big amen there, all right? But they watch what we do. And I, from a young age, I watched my daddy. I watched what he did, and I obediently tried to imitate him, whatever he did or whatever he said do. If we go fishing, my daddy would say, all right, son. And he'd show me and say, now do it like this. And I'd try to watch him the best I could and observe what he did. And then I'd try to, you know, however he told me to throw the pole or whatever, throw the line. Whatever I do, when daddy said, son, do it like this, that's what I tried to do. I tried to be obedient and do it just like daddy. Because I felt if I do it just like him, I'll be successful. Because daddy, to me, he was successful. He's the hardest working man I know. They wasn't nothing my daddy didn't know. You know, he could fix anything. He could do anything. He was a problem solver. He could get it done. Man, he just, that's the way it was. And I can remember as a young child, I can even remember as a teenager thinking, Lord, if I ever become a husband and a daddy, I hope that I can do what my daddy's done. Because I feel like I don't know nothing. I'll be a big dummy, you know. But it seems like my daddy always could fix anything. He always had the answers. And if he didn't have them, he'd find them. He always had a solution. What I'm trying to say is, listen, there's an obedience exercise. To be conformed to his image, there has to be a new identity that's taken on. And so I try to take on the identity of my father. He was before me, and I try to take on that identity. And sometimes that wasn't always a good thing. My dad, when I was about 10 years old, my dad used to chew tobacco. And yes, I was like, well, I want to be like daddy. So daddy chews tobacco, I want to chew tobacco. And I'd never forget, my dad would always come home, and he had a little place on the counter where he'd empty his pockets. And he'd put all his change up there, and then he'd pull out, and he chewed Red Man tobacco. And he'd take the Red Man tobacco, he's laid up there with his change and his keys and all that. So I come strolling through the kitchen one night, and I saw it laying up there. And I didn't go sneaking or anything. I went in there, and I said, hey, daddy, can I have some of your tobacco? My daddy said, yeah, sure. Come here. Let me show you how to get you some. I brought the pouch over there. He reached in. He got me a big old big old pinch of it. He said, all right, now, and you stick it right over here. Now, he already knew what was going to happen. Y'all knew what happened. Y'all know what happened. Man, I got that in there. I walked around a little bit. Man, I'm like my daddy. Chewing that tobacco, you know, sitting there. Well, about 5 minutes later, man, my mouth was on fire. I couldn't get it out fast enough. Man, I was so sick feeling. I didn't swallow it, praise the Lord. But, man, I tell you, I didn't want to swallow for a while because the taste was in my mouth for a long time. And it was burning. It was on fire. And I was trying to, like, oh, my goodness, why'd I do that? But listen, why'd I do that? I was following Daddy. I wanted to look like him. And listen here, obedience. There's obedience to exercise. We take on a new identity. Now, Luke 9:23, the Bible says this. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, what I want to focus on in that verse right there, and Jesus saying, look, you want to follow me? Man, you want to enter into this relationship with me, become a disciple of Christ? Hey, that's fine, but let me give you some prerequisites of what you need to do. Number one, man, you're going to have to deny yourself. And in doing so, he gives us another picture of what that looks like. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily. Now, I'd love to go in and dissect much further, and that'll be for another sermon another time, what that is, taking up your cross. What does it mean to bear your cross? How do we relate that to the cross? But I do want to say this part tonight concerning the cross, and that's when we go to Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, and there the Bible tells us what Jesus did to be conformed, to become obedient, to exercise obedience to the Father, to the Heavenly Father, to be conformed to the image of the Father to fulfill God's purpose in sending him. And here in Philippians 2, look with me, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Why? He was not identifying himself. He's not trying to make something of himself. Why? He was trying to lose his identity to take on the identity of the Father. All right? What was the identity he was needing to take on? And that was the Holy Lamb of God. That was what he was to be identified as. He's going to the cross to be what? The supreme sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so here it says he made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so here we see in that, Jesus, it tells us, he lost his own identity to become that which would please the Father, and that which would please the Father was taking on the image of the Holy Lamb of God, that supreme sacrifice for my sins, your sins, and the sins of the whole world. He lost his own identity. For he hath, and listen to me, just this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, listen, to be sin for us. Did you get that? He lost his identity, not his deity, but his identity. He lost his identity. And at that moment on the cross, with all the sin of the world placed upon him, you know what he became? He became sin, our sin. It says he became our sin. Did more than just took on our sin, all right? More than just a sin laid on him. The Bible says he took on our sin. That what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took on our sin. He lost his identity so much that God says, God, turn from him. Turn from him. He no longer saw his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he saw our iniquity. He became it for you and I. Oh, what a sobering thought. I believe that's why in the garden, why he was sweating drops of blood. Now I understand, and I've heard it preached this way many a time. I understand when he was in the garden, I believe in his humanity. All right, in his humanity. Here we got the God-man, all God, all at the same time. And in his humanity, sure, I'm sure he, knowing all things, being God, what he was about to face, I believe that no doubt it was not a pleasant thought. about of what was about to take place physically for him as man. But I don't believe that was so much the issue that night in the garden when he said, "Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." What was it? That he would become something that is contrary to who he is. He's God in the flesh. Cannot be in the presence of sin. But yet, in just hours away, the Bible says he was going to become sin. And that weighed heavy. Can you imagine a holy and righteous God going to have to taste and become the sin of all the world? And I believe that was the stress. Oh God, if there's another way. Oh Father, if there'd be another way, I wouldn't have to become sin. Taste sin for the whole world. But yet he did. Praise the Lord, he did. What'd he do? He lost his identity. And he took on the needed identity for that moment in time in which he came. So that the identity of God could be reestablished back in man. Aren't you glad tonight? Praise the Lord for that truth God's word gives us. So being conformed to his image, not only is there a relationship that must be entered, but there is an obedience that must be exercised. And then also we see there in 1 Peter 1:14-16, and the Bible tells us in that passage there, this thing here says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because why? It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God said, I want you to be obedient. And here's the thought I want you to be obedient to. If I'm holy God, if I'm a holy God, a righteous God, so should you be as my child. You should take on my identity. That's what I've commanded you to do, to be conformed. I've determined that you'd be conformed to my image. And so there, I want you to know that is my desire. But not only there, but you see, why? Why do we want to do that? Why would we want to be conformed to God's image? Why that should be my desire as a child of God? Well, it's simply because John 14:15, Jesus said this, if you love me, then obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. Here's my commandment. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. I'm a holy and righteous God. And if you've placed your faith in me, you've trusted me, you're going to follow me, then deny yourself. Deny your flesh. And take on the image that I desire of you, and that is one that is righteous and holy. And if you love me, you know what you'll do? You'll desire to be righteous and holy if you love me. If you love me, obey my commandments. So we see here, there's a relationship to be entered. There's an obedience to be exercised. But the last thing I want you to look at, there is spiritual growth that is expected. Spiritual growth that is expected. Just as my children continue to grow. And as they grow, if I've done my job, then hopefully they'll become more and more and more like me. In a good way and in a good sense. Are the things that hopefully I have displayed and I have lived out before them according to Scripture of what a godly husband and a godly father should look like as they grow and they continue to spend time with their earthly father, and I instill the right things in them, the more that they'll be conformed to my image of what I desire, what my responsibility is to teach and train and nurture them up in the admonition of the Lord. And so it is, spiritually speaking as well, church, is that one of the prerequisites or one of the things that we should be identified with you and I as a child of God is there should always be a continual spiritual growth in our life. I love what an old pastor said one time in a meeting. I wrote it down, never have forgotten it. And he said this about growth, about this very subject in the life of a believer, taking on a new look, all right, if you will. In this spiritual growth, we're taking on a new look where the old man's passed away. You know, a new man's come along. We're to put off the old man, put on the new man. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. So our life is looking in a different way now than what it used to be before we came to know Christ. There's a new look that's taking place in my life as we do what Philippians 2 and verse 12 says. We work out our salvation. What God is doing on the inside ought to be coming out in my life, in your life, and becoming evident to everybody else around me to whom I belong, to whom I serve, to whom I'm living for. And so that being said, the same thing here. Spiritual growth ought to be expected. It's necessary for me to be, to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this about growing, he said, or about the Christian life. He said there's only two things about a Christian's life. You're either growing or you're dying. He said you're just like a plant. And you know there's only two stages a plant can be in. It's either thriving or it's dying. It's either being given what it needs to grow in nutrients and so forth and proper fertilization and proper rooting and ground and soil and all those things, sunlight, water. It has to get all those things. But if it's getting all those things, it will always be in a continual pattern of growth. It'll always be thriving. But when it ever stops thriving, it begins immediately the process of dying. And he says, that's the Christian's life. You're either thriving or you're in the process of dying as a believer. And so I've never forgotten that very thought. And then he said this, and then he said, like these plants right here, he said, if you're either you're thriving or you're dying, you're growing or you're dying, he said, or you're fake. See, I can look at this plant right here, and it looks healthy. It's always beautiful, always the way it's supposed to look. Looks like it's thriving. The only problem is, folks, the reason it looks like that is it's fake. There's a lot of folks, again, I believe, they're walking around proclaiming that they're in the family of God, wearing the name Christian, and they may look the part, they may act the part to some degree, but you can't find any spiritual growth going on in their life. Well, there's a reason why, all right, because it's not real, all right? It's fake, it's phony. A fake, phony plant can never grow. It can never thrive. All right, it may look like it is, but it can't. It can't. And so there's got to be spiritual growth. That spiritual growth is expected as we look into Scripture. We see here in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10, and let me read that for you. It says there, might get there. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10, the Bible says this. He says that, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, though through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers, listen to me, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, listen to verse 5, add to your faith these things. What does that sound like, church? Sounds like growth, doesn't it? We're adding to our faith these things. He says this is what you ought to be growing up into. This ought to be evident in your life as a child of God. You're growing and adding to your faith that by that faith you entered into the relationship. Now you ought to have a desire to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, love him because you're obeying his commandments. And he says, and to add to that virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things, if what? If all these things have been added unto your life, there's been spiritual growth. Look what's going to happen. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither, what? Be barren nor unfruitful. They'll be evidence. There'll be evidence that you, who do you belong to? There'll be evidence to who you're serving. There'll be evidence to the life that you're living for in Christ Jesus. Listen, you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What are you saying there? There ought to be evidence of growth in your spiritual life, that you're being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought to be evident to the point that, you know what? If it's not, he says, here's the thing, here's the scary part. He says, do you know that a believer that's not growing can look just like someone who's pretending to be saved and is lost? Your life can almost be paralleled. He says here these were believers, but they had failed to grow. They got in. They got in. Praise God, they got in. All right, the relationship began. They were birthed into the family of God, but it says the problem was they stayed right there. They stayed right where they got in. They never moved beyond that. And may I say this, church, listen, God never intended us to stay where we got in. All right, he will never leave us where he found us. Amen. This crazy notion out there in our world today and among many churches is that, hey, we can look any old way, act any old way. Hey, man, God said, man, just come as you are. Yeah, come as you are. But he don't leave you how he found you. Amen. He changes you. I mean, he revolutionizes your life. He turns you upside down. He never leaves you as he found you. And how you look and how you act and what you do and what you desire and where you go and so forth and so on. But praise God, listen, he's always a progress of moving you from where you got in to where he's trying to take you. And where is the end result? That you be conformed to his image. I'm asking you tonight, church, who do you look like? Do you look like Christ? Are you looking more like him than you did yesterday, more than you did a month ago? Do you look more like him today than you did a year ago? Who do you look like? Do you look more like Christ or you look more like the world? Do you look more like Christ or you look more like the old dead sinner that you used to be, the old man? I'm asking you tonight, who do you look like? Because here's the thing. A person can be saved but be so out of the will of God, be so complacent and stagnant in their Christian life that they're not growing, that they, if you looked at them, not knowing their heart, not knowing where they stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, not knowing where they're at in their relationship with him, that they would appear to be as though they don't know God at all. Man, that's a bad place to be when people can't tell whether you're saved or not saved. And here's what he says, you need to find out. He says there, look, you need to make sure. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, if this be your case, listen, give diligence to make sure there's been a new birth. Make sure you're in the family of God. Why aren't you growing? You got to get to the bottom of that, the answer to that. You got to get to the bottom of that. Why? What's the root cause why you're not growing? You got to find out. He said, give diligence to it. Because I'm going to tell you, that's a conflicting place to be. You're supposed to be a child of God. And yet you look like you don't know him at all. Find out. Make sure. Make sure. Don't go on and just assume you had some warm, fuzzy feeling experience one night. You raised your hand. You said a prayer. You went to church. You memorized a verse. Whatever it may be, I pray. Hey, he said, search it out. Search it out. Know that you be in the faith. Take an evaluation, an appraisal of yourself. Look in the mirror. You want to know? All you got to do is look in the mirror. You'll find out. Look here. Look here to the Word of God. His Word doesn't lie. He tells us exactly what we need to be, what we're supposed to look like if we're His. All right, so he says here in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10, and the same thing, that same issue was going on in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, where often people try to make an issue there about losing your salvation. No, same thing was going on there. All right, the writer of Hebrews was addressing believers who he came and found what? Not growing. He said, I want to give you meat, but I find I got to give you milk again. You should be way on down the road, but I got to start all over with the elementary, fundamental basics. You ought to be teaching others, but instead I got to teach you again because you just stayed where you got in. You stayed where you got in. There's no growth. And he says, that's not a good place to be. Not a good place to be, and we ain't got time to hash out Hebrews 5 and 6 tonight. All right, I'm trying to sum this thing up, wrap it up, all right? I realize the time. All right, so he says there, we see, man, there should be growth. There should be evidence of that growth, continual progress in my life, in your life. But then I want you to see Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you've turned there with me, Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to look at this last passage. Church, who are you looking like tonight? Who do you look like? What are you seeing in the mirror as we look to the Word of God tonight? Do you like what you see? Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me, verses 17 through 24. The Bible says this, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You have not so observed this in Christ Jesus. This is not a character. This is not the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're living in such a way. He says, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a spiritual growth that's taking place here. He says the evidence of the old man ought to be, as you progress, getting dimmer and dimmer, less evident and less evident in your life, as the Holy Spirit of God sanctifies us, grows us, and matures us up into a perfect man, a mature man or woman in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it ought to be a continual thing if we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And what we find in encapsulation of all this tonight, church, is Christ has said that we are to be conformed, or God has said that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. What we will find at the very end, if we do these things, if these things be evident in my life and your life, we'll find a life that is emulated. We'll find the life of Christ. When you and I look in the mirror, we'll see the likeness, we'll see the similitude of the Lord Jesus Christ in ourselves. Not only will we see it, but others will surely see it in you and I. I'll finish with this last verse here. It says in 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. Goodness gracious, I lost my spot there. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. The Bible says this, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." If we'll do these things, church, we will follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see us a life that is emulating him. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, giving us and leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Are you following in his footsteps tonight, church? As you looked into the mirror, spiritual mirror of God's word, let me ask you, as musicians come and we close, and I pray that tonight you've taken an evaluation of yourself. And if you have not liked what you've seen in the mirror, you know what you can do? You can do something about it, amen? I pray tonight, if you see things you don't like in the mirror, that are not of Christ, they're not of his character, his nature, they're not in the similitude of him and who he is and who you know him to be, you know what? You can do something about it. And I hope tonight the Holy Spirit of God will prod your heart, you've been challenged, and you'll move to action and say, "I don't like what I see, but I know how I can fix it." And you'll run to these altars. Maybe tonight, maybe somebody here, hey, I'm not going to sit here and dismiss it. There may be somebody here tonight, and you've realized in the mirror, you saw, there's never been a birth. I never have gotten into the family of God. I can't take on his identity. I'll never look like him. I'll never act like him. I'll never do the things that he desires. I'll never love what he loves. I'll never want what he wants. May I say, you won't. Till you get in, you come to know him, you enter into the relationship. And once you enter in, I'm going to tell you, that ought to be automatic then. You'll want what he wants. You'll desire what he desires. You'll want to be like him. Just as a son physically to a father, earthly father, will be the same to your spiritual father. I pray tonight as we sing, we stand to our feet. If you need to do business with God, these altars are open. If you don't like what you saw, hey, how about doing something about it? Don't go home. Don't go home and walk away as often we do. Bible says a lot of times we see what we see in the mirror, we don't like it, but then we walk away, and how quickly we forget what we saw. How quickly we begin to deceive ourselves that we saw something different. That I had to look better than that. I got to look better than that. And we only lie and deceive ourselves. I pray tonight, let the Holy Spirit of God have His perfect will and way. Let the Word of God reflect back to you. Let you see you for who you are and where you're at in your life with Him. As they sing.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.